So as promised, we are continuing this conversation from yesterday, which got extremely touching, sensitive, heavy, difficult, and tough. So we aren't going to navigate it alone. We're going to be joined by psychologist Nkateko Ndala Magoro for this conversation. And we welcome him to just also assist and guide. Nkateko, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rinwabwile, for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners as well.
So I want to kick off by sort of giving a highlights reel of some of the conversations that had that happened yesterday. The one was a lady by the name of Nomusa who called in to say that when her husband met her, her current husband met her, she was pregnant with another man's child. But what the husband doesn't know is that the father of her child had actually died. And she's still mourning this person 5 years after the person had actually tried to lobola her. So she is still dreaming of this person. She's grieving him, but she hasn't been able to do it openly because her husband does not know of this person. And I just advised her to, you know, speak to somebody, because the child is going to want to know, you know, at some point, who's my real dad? Where are they? Instead of them just living under this cloud of, oh, he just disappeared. It happens all the time. Another one that came in was a gentleman who was dating somebody, and the husband had also passed away of the woman he's dating. But every year on his birthday, it would be balloons and celebrations. And after the third year, he could not take it anymore. Another caller who shared with us that, you know, the girlfriend has a problem with the fact that every time it's his late wife's birthday, he puts a photo up of her to say happy birthday on Facebook. So I understand that these are very complicated matters, and each to their own, in the sense that grieving has no timeline. Others on Facebook were commenting to say, my husband died, I'm remarried, I leave the past in the past, I don't, you know, keep ghosts alive. And others are saying, I don't want to be in competition with a dead person. What are your initial thoughts on these very complicated but truly sensitive matters?
Sure, and those are very, very, very difficult. And I think it can also pose, you know, especially with the second story, the partner questioning themselves, their role and their position in their partner's life, with the photos being put up. But if there is honesty in the relationship, there will be an understanding that, and unlike divorce, I mean, with grief, it does not say that these people ended their relationship because they were not in love with each other. Mm. So it's different from breaking up or divorcing. Mm. It's that this person, I still love this person, but they were taken away from me. They mm. did not leave. I lost them maybe tragically. I lost them unexpectedly. So it's to also have an understanding and an empathy. And I think openness, it's very, very, very key mm. in this. With the first story, obviously, there's deception in there. Mm. And any relationship that is founded on deception is highly unlikely not to be sustainable or to last. So it's to come forward and say, these are some of the dreams that I'm having. I will seek help, you know, to process what I'm dreaming, but it has nothing to do with me not loving you enough. Mm. It's just that I still think and dream, because mm. we know sometimes for those of us who believe in dreams, it's dreams are a form of processing things that we are unable to do when we are conscious, or when we are in our awake state. And dreams are a subconscious way of processing the things and confronting things that we are unable to speak about, or we are not bold enough to face.
Mm, mm, mm. And I think what you're sharing is very powerful, just in the sense that if the foundation of the relationship is not based on honesty and truth, you make it very tricky. And hence, I had shared with the caller to say, you know, it's been that long that now, for all you know, the partner actually knew all along and was waiting for you to say, or the thing that might break you up is the fact that you were not forthcoming right at the beginning. We are going to open the lines. We have kept all of the voice notes from yesterday as well, so we can give listeners an opportunity to also hear from the kind of support and advice that you'd be able to share. So let's go to the lines. We kick off with Nicola from Cape Town. Nicola, hi, go ahead.
Hi, Rele Bokile, thanks so much. So I'm based in Cape Town. I'm a registered counselor. And I was so interested to hear sort of part of what was going on for your caller yesterday. One of the things that I've noticed, I hold monthly grief gatherings. One of the things that I've noticed is something called disenfranchised grief. And that happens when, you know, grief is such an organic process. It's such a natural human process. And really the work of grieving is to kind of let it happen and not get in its way, which is hard for us. You know, it's very uncomfortable to grieve, especially if you're grieving for a previous partner and you're in a relationship already. So disenfranchised grief happens when we suppress that process, or we interrupt that process, or we feel we're not allowed to have that process. And it can actually worsen our experience. It can make the grief process longer. It can make it more complicated or complex. And it can worsen the effects of grief that would otherwise have passed through and allowed us to move on with our lives in a normal way.
What I love about what you're saying is that it applies to grief in general. We were somebody on my Twitter feed was sharing about how their friends, somebody close to their friend, their sister lost a close friend. And she says that it's been years now. She's still doing this grieving thing. I'm tired. I need to cut her out my life. And there's the other side where, you know, obviously our coping mechanisms are not the same. Our capacities are not the same. Some people might grieve a close friend for 5 years, while another might grieve their mother for one. Can you, you know, from what you're seeing, do you think that we give each other grace as human beings to allow the process to happen?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, in a largely westernized society where we lack a lot of communal rituals, I think we live in quite a grief phobic society, a death phobic society. We avoid illness. We avoid death. We try to, you know, avoid the signs of aging. And so grief and death and loss are not super welcome in our westernized society in general. And so I think it is hard not only for people to accept that they are in a grief process and to go through that process, but also for other people to accept that about their loved ones and to allow that. And so, you know, it is necessary to get added support in these cases, because it is, you know, in order to move through the grief process in a good way, it really is about allowing that process with deep compassion for yourself and for, you know, those who you support.
And thank you so much for that contribution, Nicola. I'm busy thinking, Kateko, just around the fact that the person who is grieving, and I've heard this a number of times, I've felt it before, you get tired when people ask, how are you? You get tired of still saying, I'm still heartbroken. That you reach a point where you start saying, oh, I'm fine, everything's okay. Because we do know when the funeral is over, when everybody's left, reality sinks in. What could you say to the people who are grieving, who are holding back grief and feel like they're burdening people around that feeling?
And it's so unfortunate, and to think that an individual will then be tired of thinking that others, hearing them saying over and over again, I am missing so and so. And it's maybe to find ourselves being in safer spaces where we are able to. I was with a client of mine who lost someone very dear to them earlier on. And I said to them, this is a safe space. You don't need to think that you have to sift whatever emotions, the raw emotions, because of feeling judged by the society to say you should have moved on. So it's mainly about finding safe spaces where you can be able to then express yourself. And we don't also need to pretend, because it's unlike anything else where there is no evidence of why you are crying. I mean, you still have a right, even though there's no evidence. But even with the loss of a loved one, especially a spouse or a partner, nobody in your circles does not know that you have lost somebody. So I will say to individuals, because they will say to me, I am afraid of crying because it's almost like I'm looking for a pity party, or people will come by and say, oh, it has been 6 months, it has been 2 years, you're still crying about this. And I say, you are within your own right, because they will understand. Maybe they were there, they contributed towards the condolences, they were at the funeral. So you can just say, you know, today I am missing so-and-so. So we need to give ourselves that permission. And as society, we need to be kinder, we need to be gentler, we need to be accommodating.
And also, you know, grief is not a group assignment. So nobody outside of you can say, ah, aman, you know, ginago. Even though people have a tendency to do that, they'll tell you, no, just chin up, or just go meditate, or just go, you know. And we know and understand that grief and loss demands to be felt. That is part of the process, is sitting and actually feeling it and healing from it. I want to play some voice notes that... Yes?
No, I was saying there is a reason why you're feeling the way that you are feeling. This is a loved one that you have lost. So there is a reason. Why would you not be feeling the pain?
Definitely, because you're not just grieving the loss of the person, you're also grieving the loss of the dreams you had together, the life that you had envisioned. You almost have to figure out who you are and what your life is about outside of this person that you were a part of. Your voice notes, we're taking them on 0727021702. Because I know there's no chance.
Hi, Relebogile. Mto here. On that part of the wife or the partner dying, I personally believe that as a man, you cannot bury two women in one house. Two women cannot live. Once I get married to another person, I'm married currently, should my wife pass away, I have an obligation. Once I meet the new woman that I'm making my wife, I have an obligation to buy a new house. Should she pass away, she should live in her house, because the house that I am living with my kids, that's my wife's house. The next house I buy, it's gonna be our house, new wife. Third wife I get, third house, because this whole thing creates unnecessary underground gang problems.
Good day, Relebogile. Godfrey from Centurion. This is a very sensitive topic, but I honestly believe it hasn't personally happened to me, but I honestly believe that for a relationship to work, both of you must be 100% in it. And if someone still has ties somehow with someone who has passed on, it might be a hindrance. I am not saying let us not remember those who passed on, because we do. Robert Rola Komabitling, but I think if you attach too much emotion to it, you are going to strain your partner. Thank you.
Afternoon. You know, to compete with a ghost, it's a nice thing. Because honestly speaking, not unless the ghost is haunting you and persecuting you. It's nothing, really. It's nothing. It's really nothing to really worry about. You don't even have to sweat about the fact that this person is mourning, you know, this person and needs support. Just go and support. And who knows, when you're at that grave, you just look at and look at this person and says, check me, I'm alive. I'm the one that is, you know, around the partner. But you know what, for supporting the partner, dude, go with the person to go and mourn and cry. You wipe the tears, you come back. Life goes on.
Yo. Nkateko. Ditaba tse kgolo. So let's go voice note by voice note. So let's start with the last one, saying that, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a thing. But the element that maybe was not taken into consideration, which is what I brought yesterday. Obviously, Mto's saying if I've got a new wife, I must get a new house and leave that house. It was my wife's house. You don't want underground gang problems, as in, you know, dealing with ancestors and those that have passed on. Godfrey saying if there are still ties with that other person who has passed on, it's going to cause complications in your current relationship. But all of these things, what about if they are children and that is their mother?
Yeah. And it's not as simple as that. That's why we talking about the complexity of the whole issue, where you know, we cannot just uproot the kids just because we need to have a fresh start. I think that's also what it's been spoken about here, to give the new wife or the current wife a new start. But we will need to consider what is at stake. I mean, the kids' school, the friends, the support structure. You might find that wherever we want to uproot the family, they will feel alien in that place. Or even the kids themselves, they don't want to leave that place because it reminds them, and it's a good way of connecting with their mother or their father in that space. So you will need to, as a family as well, because I find that a lot of times where children are not involved in this process. They are just uprooted. They are just told what to do, what needs to happen, and not consulted. And that will be an important aspect to look at, especially as far as children are involved, depending also on their ages. If it's younger children, if it's teenagers, if it's children who are about to leave the house or who needs to be leaving the nest. So it will definitely depend on that. And then where Godfrey is saying that you need to give yourself 100%, I beg to differ. Remember, this is a person that you had lived a life, you had formed a bond with. Yes, you want to immerse yourself in the new relationship, in the current relationship, and you want to be invested, you want to be present, you want to assure also your new partner or your spouse that they are not the Dimakatso or the Dikeledi. They are, you know, Mary and then Esther in themselves. But we cannot necessarily divorce ourselves from what has been part of us. There will be things that maybe trigger us along the way. And that's also when we are taking a person through a process of grief, to say there will be a number of triggers. It could be even a pair of shoes that maybe Esther loves that reminds you of Dikeledi. So you cannot say, because I have immersed myself so 100% in this relationship, therefore this same shoes will not remind me of Dikeledi. So you know, and we need to then be not too sensitive and too careful, but process that and say, you know, as you chose those shoes, it reminded me of this, but I can see now that you have the same taste, and it's not about competing. And I think the third voice note was talking about competing with ghosts, and to say we cannot be competing with ghosts. Actually, I have a client who was competing with a ghost, where the spouse told them night in, night out, and they had to actually divorce this particular person. But they were told night in, night out, but Silo used to do this, Spiwo used to do this, you know, and they really, really, for them, it was unbearable, to a point where they definitely had to divorce, because they felt they were being compared unduly, and it's not because the person was not present in the relationship, but because of they had not processed the grief properly, and they were not also ready for that new relationship to go into that new relationship. It was almost like a rebound when they went into that new marriage.
Yes, and I think it's also important for us to note that as human beings, we are complex. Two things can be true at the same time. I can be mourning my ex-boyfriend and also still have capacity to love, because it doesn't mean I've now forgotten this person. And I think what maybe is missing in some of these relationships is mindfulness. So if for me, I'm missing this person, it would be irresponsible of me to now keep bringing him up. Yes, the shoes reminded me of him, but I don't need to necessarily verbalize it, because it's not necessarily a kind thing to do, as truthful as it is in that moment. It might not be appropriate, and vice versa. The partner also can be mindful to the fact that, yo, Kana, I know today is the day that this person died. I'm going to give her space. I'm going to give her the day to feel what she needs to feel without me being there. And now she's holding back the grief and the tears. And I think we do forget quite often that we are complex as human beings. And the reason we know we can love more than one person at a time is because we all do it. We love our friends. We love all of the people around us in many different ways. And I see more of your messages coming through. One here says, emotional and physical healing takes time. Indeed, it does. And I do remember, I can't remember if it was Dr. Phil or which psychologist said that even the word takes time can be deceptive, in the sense that you think just wait and you will heal. You actually actively have to be doing certain things to drive the healing process. So you can't sit for 10 years and say, well, time has passed. You actually might be sitting for 10 years and be stuck exactly where you were. Anonymous says, I grieved for 2 years after losing my husband. However, whenever I feel like visiting the graveyard, I will just go. So I met this guy. We dated for 2 months, but I was still missing my husband. The guy I was dating told me straight that he's not going to compete with a dead person, and he ended things with me. That's from Anonymous. We'll continue with your voice notes from yesterday and from today. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702.
702 Afternoons
with Relebo Gile Mabotja.
Lines are always open
on 011-883-0702.
25 minutes to 2 o'clock, and we are continuing the conversation we have been having around dating and getting married after losing your significant other, your other half, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. But how do you continue to grieve while there's a new person in your life, and add the layer of complication of you having children with that person? So it's not like you can just completely erase their memory from the home out of respect of a new person, because those children want to remember their mother or their father. We're joined by psychologist Nkateko Ndala Mahoro, and we take your calls on 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Here are some more of your voice notes.
Your software for that one has not been downloaded. Hey, my own. I have not upgraded to that maturity level yet. No, I can't. I won't be able to do that, honestly. It's in the past, it's in the past. Marcel from Joburg.
Hi. I was in a relationship with someone who had been separated from their husband, divorced, and every single thing was a trigger. My watch was a trigger, and it ended up, because I think we're in the same space, it ended up causing problems to a point where I was accused of cheating. I ended up being accused of being a narcissist, and only towards the end I found out that she was a serial cheater, and the reason why it became like that, it was because she was trying to deal with the pain of what her husband was doing, not what he was necessarily doing, and which was a problem.
Hi, Lebohile. call me dark, call me whatever you want to call me. We are competing with a whole lot of things as it is. We're competing with a whole lot of other people as it is that are alive. Give me a dead person for my person to grieve for that long. I'll take it anytime. I don't mind that.
Hi all. How about we stop remarrying? That's option two, because that further complicates things. Just literally stay. Libana balun.
Kateko. Yo. Yo. Oh, okay. Sorry, every time I listen to voice notes, and just to give context to the first voice note of the person saying, I don't have that level of maturity. It's because the TikTok story we were referencing, the woman's boyfriend, his ex-girlfriend died, as in after they had got together. And she would go with him to the gravesite to grieve. That's what brought up the conversation. And I'm saying, look, I'm happy to support your grieving, but I don't think I'm going to be going to the gravesite with you and buying balloons. And then you're crying. Now I'm also crying. And that's just to give context to that. Nkateko, I mean, yo, guys, this is so deep. Yeah.
It's a lot. And I think it's interesting also with the fourth voice note where she's saying, how about we don't get married, you live with your children. So I think this, it just talks to the complexity, but also at the same time, I'm saying it does not mean it's impossible. I think people can still build lives, romantic lives, after the passing of a partner or a spouse. It is possible. It's not impossible.
So maybe then the question is, how should one know when they are ready? Because I'm seeing many messages who say some of these people must just admit they're not ready to move on. How should one know they are ready, and not just ready as in like, yo, this, I'm not used to being alone in the house, let me quickly find someone, but ready in a way that they can be respectful and mindful of this new partner's feelings while you're going through this? Because you mentioned the rebound thing. That is such a real thing where a person's like, oh, I love this in love feeling. But then you find yourself feeling sad because you're like, I didn't actually want this person. I want the other one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, as you were saying, you know, it's not that you're getting married because you miss the feeling of being in love or having a partner in life. You know, some will actually be married because of that, especially for, well, I'm now being sexist, but for men, when they are used to the helpmate, it's easier for them or quicker for them to get into a marriage of convenience, because for them it's unbearable to be alone and to having to figure in life by themselves, where they had a helpmate to help them to navigate life in a way that makes them makes stuff to be convenient for them. But
what you are saying, can I just jump in there? Also, let's not forget that culture has made it more acceptable for men to move on quickly. Why? Because of this thing of, what is he going to eat? Who's going to iron his shirts for work, right? So 6 months later, he can move on. But dare a woman move on, even after 5 years, the in-laws will be there. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, even in the nuances, the same cultural nuances, Relebuhilo, of horoula. It's the woman who will wear the black clothes. For a man, they will just have a button on their shirt, you know, on their sleeve, so even that gender differences of being able to identify somebody who's a widow versus a widower, it will be so much more explicit to identify a widow versus a widower. And I'm not sure, I'm not that well vested, and I can be corrected, where for a woman, you know, it's a whole year where they have to wear a huaparasififi, or to be wearing the black clothes, where for a man it could be that, you know, we release this man quicker than a woman. So even in that, and it plays out also in how are they able to navigate the dating scene.
And there's a message here that says, Relebogile, please keep me anonymous. I lost my beautiful, wonderful, lovely and loving wife 6 years ago this year. We had two beautiful kids. I'm a strong believer in good family dynamics. And for me, family is everything. I find it difficult to start a life with another woman. However, the pressure of day-to-day life constantly reminds me that two are better than one. The more I struggle to settle in a relationship I'm in now, the more I realize that I was right. You only get married once in life. My heart goes out to everyone who is struggling like me, and I hope that someday, somehow, things work out well. And we have so many more of these voice notes that are coming through.
Sure.
Lebogile, my take on issue of celebrating the person who passed on. I think the person who celebrates the partner who passed on, they are not even ready. So to start a relationship when you are not ready and celebrating others in that kind of relationship, I think it's kind of like being unfair. Emotionally, it's not okay, and they can't be okay with that you are celebrating the past partner, even though we mourn differently. I would like to say, from me, as I have that experience, I don't want to commit to any person currently now, because I know I'm not emotionally healed. So I think we need to take our time in committing or having partners, compared to them having to compete with the person who passed on, even though we do have a relation with.
Hi, good day, good day, good day, it's good afternoon. My name is Palani Motale, and I'm currently dating somebody who's a widow. We are together for about 3 years now. And I've allowed her to speak about it, because it's not a nice thing to lose a lifetime partner. And so when I came into her life, I take advantage of the situation, in the sense that I allow her to speak about her late husband, the good things and the bad things which happened. And by doing that, I start to know her better. It also gives me an opportunity to know what she likes and what she doesn't like in a relationship. And we have the most perfect relationship currently. Yeah. I think I'm not in competition with her late husband, so that's why she can speak about him anytime.
Hi, it's Relebogile, Jerry here. It's about 17 years ago, I was dating someone whose husband has died in a car crash. And so what happened was, the lady had two daughters. So every year, when it was supposed to be the deceased's birthday, I'm telling you, the whole household would go crazy. They will buy groceries, they will light candles, they will make one big birthday party for the deceased. And it went on for 3 years, and I couldn't take it anymore, so I shipped out.
Hi, Relebogile. It's not a situation that one can easily imagine if one is not in that situation, because it all depends on the specific circumstances of an individual. I mean, how many children they had, how long they were involved, what kind of relationship they had, how the person passed away. So, you know, it's very specific. And ultimately, I would say, let the dead rest. And move on. On the initial, your initial question, why would a leader want to come back in a lower position?
Thank you so much for all of those voice notes. Nkateko, as we wrap up this conversation, I mean, we can hear from all the voice notes and the messages, the views are so different. I mean, the man who says, I allow her, I love how he's seeing the positive side to say, I get to learn more about my partner as she speaks about her significant others, where others are saying, let the dead rest. If you need to keep mourning somebody you're not ready to date. And another one saying, can broken people please not date? They must heal first and then date.
And my question will be, aren't we all broken? And which then will mean we must not all date, because we're broken by different circumstances. And that would be unfair to say somebody who has lost a lifetime partner or a spouse should not be allowed to date. And I like Palani's outlook. I think it's a very mature outlook on saying, you know, by her speaking about this person, and it doesn't sound like it's overbearing in how she's speaking about him. I get to learn, I get to know her a little bit more. And it can be difficult. And I think the last voice note was speaking to how it is dynamic. It depends on the circumstances. It depends on the quality of the relationship. Because sometimes other people might have been on their way out. Actually, I had somebody who said to me, you know, my husband was shot, but I did not even grieve because we were on our way to be separating. He took me through hell.
Or the relationship ended 2 years before we actually parted.
And for them, it was like Lifula Haolam Pidisa, because there was money out and she was still, in inverted commas, married, legally married, but they had exited long time ago in terms of the relationship. There was a lot going on.
Let me translate what you just said there. Yeah. As in, there are situations where the death of the spouse actually brings life to the remaining one, because maybe the dynamics are that the relationship was long over, they were going to be ending things anyways, but now even policies paid out, I can be single again. And I'm glad you're bringing that up, because that is the reality. Not all people who have lost spouses are necessarily grieving like others. Some people are relieved. Nkateko, we have to wrap it up there, but I thank you so, so much just for all that you are sharing. What would you encourage those who continue to grieve to do?
It's to really be kind to yourself and take it in. Take a moment to walk that journey, have a support structure and don't judge yourself. If you feel you want to be partnered up, you want to be in a romantic relationship, don't judge yourself and think it's too soon. I think other people will be too loyal to the deceased spouse or partner and say, you know, I cannot, because this will look like I'm moving on too quickly. Go as it suits your flow of the process, and you know you are honoring your late husband, your late wife, your late girlfriend, your late boyfriend in the way that you can uniquely do that. But most of it, most of all, it's to be surrounded by people who are supportive.
Thank you so much, Nkateko Ndala Mahoro.